بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد بيعة 70 رجلا من الأنصار رضي الله عنهم أجمعين عند شعب العقبة على النصرة أخرج أحمد عن جابر قال مكث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بمكة 10 سنين يتبع الناس في منازلهم عكاظ ومجنة وفي المواسم يقول من يؤويني من ينصرني حتى أبلغ رسالة ربي وله الجنة فلا يجد أحدا يؤويه ولا ينصره حتى إن الرجل ليخرج من اليمن أو من مضر فيأتيه قومه وذو رحمه فيقولون احذر غلام قريش لا يفتنك ويمضي بين رحالهم وهم يشيرون إليه بالأصابع حتى بعثنا الله إليه من يثرب فآويناه وصدقناه. This chapter Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has brought, he has given it the heading Bay'at, the taking of the oath of allegiance of Sahaba on the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, particularly in this particular incident, al-bay'atu al-nusra. When we look at the classification or distribution of Sahaba, Allah Ta'ala tells us of two groups amongst the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was-sabiqoon al-awwaloon min al-muhajirin wal-ansar. One is the muhajirin, those who made hijrat from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinah Munawwara. And the other group among Sahaba is what we call the Ansar of Medina, who made Nusrat, who assisted the Muhajirin. And we find that our work of Dawat and Tabligh also is mustambat, extracted from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in the tartib of our effort, we are required to at any given time be emulating either one of these two groups. Either hijrat, out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or nusrat, in other words, engaging in the effort of deen in our localities. When we listen to these incidents, it's important for us not just to listen to the story, but one is to do the work with what we call shar'i sadr, to do the work with this conviction in the heart, that this is kar nubuwwat, this is the work of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And in order to do that, we need to understand these incidents in their perspective. That this actions which we are doing today, where are they being derived from? Is it something from Nizamuddin or Raiwin? Or is it something taken directly from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? What did Sahaba understand? What was their mizaj? What was their temperament? And like Imam Malik rahimahullah said, لَيْ يُسْلِحَ آخِرُ هَذِي الْأُمَّةِ إِلَّا بِمَا صَلُحَ بِهِ أَوَّلُهَا. That the islah and the reformation of the last section of the ummah will take place exactly on that same tartib by which the islah and the reformation of the first section of this ummah took place. In other words, قَرْنِ أُولَى, the time and the period of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And like I mentioned earlier, today in the Jummah, one alim puts it beautifully. He says, for salah, our qibla is Ka'batullah. If you want to make salah, you have to face Kaaba. For following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and bringing our lives onto the true emulation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is one very vital ingredient. Without it, we can never follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like qibla for salah, the qibla for the ittiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is ashabu Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is what hayatu sahaba is. Imam Yusuf Sahib rahmatullahi alaihi has compiled these incidents for us to see clearly what the lives of sahaba were, what they understood, how they followed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jabir radiallahu ta'ala narrates that Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained in Makkah Mukarrama for 10 years. What did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do in that 10 years? Look at how Jabir radiallahu ta'ala displays and presents it to us, extracts the nature and the essence of what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. And from this, we should try and visualize the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and understand there is no better life, there is no better example for us than Nabiyyu Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was he doing? يَتْبَعُ النَّاسَ فِي مَنَازِلِهِمْ, going behind the people, person to person, individual to individual. He said sometimes you would find him in the bazaar of Okaz, sometimes you would find him in Mijanna, sometimes it would be the days of Hajj, 10 to 10, person to person, individual to individual, saying to them, entreating them, begging them, who would shelter me? Who will become my nasir, my helper? So that I can make tabligh of the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you will become my helper, if you will become, give me shelter, if you will emulate me in giving tabligh, in inviting towards the risalat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَهُ الْجَنَّةِ, Allah will give you jannat. Why? Because this road is paved with difficulty. It's paved with hardship. It's paved with sacrifice. Jabir radiallahu ta'ala said, 10 years and no one, in other words, very, very few, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam found that would shelter him or that would even help him. To such an extent, the environment of persecution against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became such that someone would be leaving from Yemen, someone would be leaving from Mudar. Before he could leave to come to Makkah Mukarramah, his people would come to him. His family members would come to him and they would say to him that be very, very careful. There is one Qurayshi youngster. Do not let him entrap or deviate you. In other words, don't even listen to him. وَيَمْدِي بَيْنَ رِحَالِهِمْ, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam persistently would be going between their tents, going from individual to individual, and they would point fingers at him. They would mock him. They would make jokes about him. Until Allah Ta'ala sent us from Yathrib. Yathrib later on came to be known as Madina Munawwara. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, when he was returning from Hajj, it's mentioned in history that when he passed by this place, amongst the ashab of Musa alayhi salam, his companions, there were three people, Qaynuqa, Nadir and Qurayza. They saw Yathrib, they saw Madina Munawwara. And Allah Ta'ala tells us about the Yahud in the Quran, يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ, they recognize Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam like they recognize their own children. So when they saw this place, they said to Musa alayhi salam, this place resembles that place which is mentioned in your scriptures about the place of the hijrat of the final prophet. So they took permission from Musa alayhi salam in the expectation that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the final prophet, would come from amongst the Jews. They took permission to settle here, so that when the last prophet makes hijrat to this place, they can make his nusrat and become his companions. So we find in Yathrib, there were Arabs also and there were Jews living. The Arabs mostly were the Aus and the Khazraj tribe of Madina Munawwara. They would hear from the Jews about the coming of the last prophet, especially as the time drew near. And the Jews had this misconception that Rasulullah would come from amongst them. So they would taunt the Arabs of Medina. Listen, when the final prophet comes, we will slaughter you people, we will banish you from Medina, Allah's help will come, etc., etc. So these people from Yathrib, in the 11th year of Nubuwat, according to Isfahani's Dalail Nubuwa, six Sahaba from Medina Munawwara, Abul Haytham bin Tayhan, Ubadah bin Samit, Saad bin Rabi, As'ad bin Zurara, Abdullah bin Rawaha, and Haritha bin Nu'man radiallahu anhum, They met Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam late one night in Aqaba in Mina. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm cutting the incident short, it's not mentioned here, it's mentioned elsewhere, gives them da'wat. They whisper amongst themselves, "Isbiqu qabla an tusbaqu." Let us beat the Jews of Medina. Let us beat the Jews of Medina. Go ahead and accept this Nabi before them. Because they had heard of the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he gave them da'wat, he recited two rukus of Surah Ibrahim, the final two rukus. By the time he reached the end, their hearts were completely changed. This was the effect of the Quran. And we find that principally the da'wat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be from the Quran. Which is why in our work also, we are encouraged to create this munasabat and this link and the association with the Quran. Nevertheless, they accepted. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent them back. So this was 2 years later now. 2 years of effort had taken place in Madinah Munawwara. And Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, فَآوَيْنَا وَصَدَّقْنَا. We gave the Rasul of Allah shelter and we attested to his truth. فَيَخْرُجُ الرَّجُلُ مِنَّا فَيُؤْمِنُ بِهِ وَيُقْرِئُهُ الْقُرْآنِ فَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ فَيُسْلِمُونَ بِإِسْلَامِهِ حَتَّى لَمْ تَبْقَ دَارٌ مِّن دُوَرِ الْأَنصَارِ إِلَّا وَفِيهَا رَهْتٌ مِّنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ يُظْهِرُونَ الْإِسْلَامِ. So he says, a person from amongst us would go out. He would bring Iman and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Quran would be read in front of him. He would return back to his family. He would have brought Islam and they would bring Islam on the strength of his Islam. So Sahaba, Dawat was their lifeblood. If you listen, if you try and translate this incident, understand, each one, the moment he accepted Islam, two things happened. One is the effect of the Quran, the attachment with the Quran, from the day they accepted Islam. And secondly, the da'wat of the Qur'an, the tabligh of the Qur'an, the tabligh of deen. Where did it start? Look at how beautifully he puts it. He accepted Islam, he would return back to his family. The first people he would give da'wat were his own family. This emphasis that our akabirin place on the importance of establishing the work in our homes, working on your family members, bringing alive the halaqat of ta'lim in home, at home, da'wat of Quran, da'wat of iman, da'wat of Allah's greatness in every home. Medina Munawwara, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam hadn't even made hijrat. The foundation was being laid for hijrat. The foundation was being laid for Medina to become the markaz of hidayat for the whole world. How was that foundation laid? We see it clearly by the effort in every home of Medina. Da'wat was given in every home of Medina. So what does he say? فَيُسْلِمُونَ بِإِسْلَامِهِ. Because of this one person's Islam and his effort on his family, the whole family would accept Islam, or majority of them, until they did not remain a single home of the homes of Ansar, except in every home of Medina, there were a few people that had already accepted Islam, يُظْهِرُونَ الْإِسْلَامِ, and had made their Islam apparent and known. So now he says, ثُمَّ أَتَّمَرُوا جَمِيعًا. We got together and we made mashwara. فَقُلْنَا, and we said, حَتَّى مَتَى نَتْرُكْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَتُوفُ وَيُطْرَدُ فِي جِبَالِ مَكَّةِ وَيُخَافُ. They said, Allah has blessed us with iman, with deen. Every home of Medina, there are few that have brought Iman and Islam on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So for how much longer are we going to abandon the Rasul of Allah? In Makkah Mukarrama, where he is being kicked from pillar to post, yutrad fi jibali Makkah, wa yukhaf, his life is in danger. He's facing persecution and torment on a daily basis. Allah has blessed us with Iman. How much longer can we leave the Nabi of Allah in that condition? So فَرَحَلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنَّا سَبْعُونَ رَجُلًا حَتَّى قَدِمُوا عَلَيْهِ فِي الْمَوْسِمِ فَوَعَدَنَاهُ شَعْبَ الْعَقَبَةِ فَاجْتَمَعْنَا عِنْدَهَا مِنْ رَجُلٍ وَرَجُلَيْنِ حَتَّى تَوَافَيْنَا فَقُلْنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ عَلَى مَا نُبَايِعُكَ. So he says, we undertook a journey. To contextualize this from a historical perspective, this was the 13th year of Nubuwat. 70 of them, he says, actually the number according to other riwayat was 72. 70 men and 2 women, Umme Mani and Umme Ammara radiallahu anha. He says, we made a journey until we came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the days of Hajj. We set a time with him that we would secretly meet in the valley of Aqaba. Aqaba is that section of Mina which, according to historians, is very close to the what we call the third shaitan. Some slight distance from Masjid-e-Khayf. So there was a valley there. They decided to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam there. Obviously, there was peril, there was danger in every direction, so they couldn't make it known. Secretly, late at night, we gathered, 1-1, 2-2, slowly, slowly, hatta tawaffayna, until all 70 of us had gathered. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met us, and we said to him that, Ya Rasulullah, what should we take bay'at on? This is the reason why Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, Imam Yusuf sahab rahmatullah alayhi, has brought this particular incident under this heading, al-bay'atu al-nusra. The Sahaba said, we are ready to take bayat, the Sahaba of Medina. We are ready to take bayat on your hands, Ya Rasulullah. What should we be taking bayat on? What we have to understand to contextualize this, like I said, it's important for us to relate these incidents in the context of the work which we are currently doing. How important is hijrat? How important is nusrat? What part of deen, what part of shariat it comprises. Today, we find when this call is made by go out in the path of Allah, whether it is 3 days or 40 days or 4 months or this period, continuously we are told, leave your family, leave your children, leave your business. We hear these type of comments that, by where is all this? Where's the proof of it? Where's the dalil? How is it we've got responsibility to our families, we have responsibility to this, responsibility to that. We have to understand this in the context of the foundation that Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established among Sahaba. Whether we like it or not, the mere fact that we are asking these questions today, unfortunately, is an indication of how far we have drifted from Qarn-e Ula, from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hijrat, leaving one's home, leaving one's business, leaving one's commitments. If you look at the Arabic word hijrat, it comes from the word hajara. Hajara means to give up. In this context, give up that which is beloved to you for the sake of Allah. Sacrifice that which is beloved to you for the sake of Allah. Earlier today in Jummah, I read the verse of the Quran, لَن تَنَالُ الْبِرْ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. Allah says, you can never find, you will never attain true piety, true ta'alluq with Allah. Hasan Basri rahimullah makes tafsir of al-bir, he says al-jannah. You will never truly be able to attain the heights of jannat, hatta tunfiqu mimma tuhibbun, until you don't sacrifice for the sake of Allah that which is beloved to you. And today the most beloved thing is one's home, one's family, one's business. Sahaba placed that on the mantle of sacrifice. Sahaba of Makkah gave up their birthplace. They gave up Kaabatullah. They gave up their businesses. They gave up their livelihood. They gave up everything and they made hijrat. Sahaba of Madina Munawara made their nusrat. And then for the next 10 years, 150 missions sent out in the path of Allah. Hijrat was the sunnat of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Hijrat was the sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And hijrat, Sahaba acknowledged how important this was, that in the Khilafat of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, cutting it short, time is limited. Abu Musa Ashari radiallahu ta'ala was the Amir of Basra. He writes a letter to Umar radiallahu ta'ala in Medina Munawara, Arrikhna ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. Islam is spreading far and wide, we need a calendar. Umar gathers the Sahaba, Ahlul Shura. What should decide the calendar? Where should the calendar start? Someone said Miladun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Someone said Badr. Someone said Fateh Makkah. Ali radiallahu anhu, one narration comes, Usman radiallahu anhu, gave this rai and opinion, Hijrat. Hijrat. This was the pinnacle. This was the turning point. And this particular incident, Maulana Yusuf Sahab rahmatullahi alayhi brings, was actually the foundation of that Hijrat. The road to Hijrat was opened through Hajj and through the effort that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made during the season of Hajj. Through that, the road to Hijrat was opened. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu loved this opinion and decided that the calendar of this ummah will start with Hijrat. And yet today people are asking, where is Hijrat? Where in Quran and Hadith is this leaving, giving up your home, giving up your family? Sahaba did what we call Hijrate Mu'abbad, permanent Hijrat. Sahaba of Makkah made permanent Hijrat. What we are doing is what we call Hijrate Muwakkat, temporary Hijrat. For Islam to spread, for the legacy of the rahmat of mercy and mercy of Rasulullah SAW to reach the four corners of the world, there is no other solution but Hijrat. This is an ummah of Hijrat. And Hijrat, one was that Hijrat from Makkah to Medina. That was right up till Fateh Makkah. After that, Rasulullah said, La hijrata ba'd al-fath, walakin jihadun wa niyya. But this waqtan fa waqtan, temporary Hijrat in the path of Allah, this constitutes such a sacrifice. Imam Nawawi rahimahullah used to say, Al-hijratu madharun zahirun li iman al-batin, idh la yuqaddimu alayha illa من ترك شهوته وترك الدنيا لمرضات الله وإذ لا يقدم عليها إلا من ارتقى إيمانه حق التوكل. He used to say that Hijrat is the visible manifestation of that Iman which is concealed. Because unless a person's tawakkul and iman is kamil on Allah, it is not possible for him to give up his attachment with this world for Allah's sake. It's not possible for him to give up those things which are close and beloved to him for the sake of Allah. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah used to say, "Man qaddama ridha Allah ala al-ahl wal-watan wal-mal fahuwa sadiqun fi imanihi." That person who puts the pleasure of Allah and puts the fikr of deen over the love that he has for his family and his home and his birthplace, this is a proof of the truth of his iman. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرِّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You can never attain true piety. The road to Allah, we have to sacrifice that which is beloved to us. And this coming out in the path of Allah, ijtima that's taking place, 3 days, 40 days, 4 months, 4 months, pedal jamaat. Try and contextualize that. The type of qurbani that has to be given. Give up something for Allah. مَنْ تَرَكَ شَيْئًا لِلَّهِ أَوَّدَهُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا مِنْ. Allah will give you better in return. Whatever you give, وَمَا أَنْفَقْتُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَهُوَ يُخْلِفُ. Allah says, whatever you give for me, I will give you better in return. I will replace it. You will lose nothing. But we have to be prepared to give that qurbani and sacrifice. Nevertheless, coming back, understand the type of sacrifice that Sahaba gave. What foundation was being laid? The foundation for the ultimate Hijrat. What does the Sahabi say to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? This group of 70, they say, Ya Rasulullah, ala ma nubayyuk? On what must we take bayat and oath of allegiance on your hand? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Qala tubayyuni عَلَى السَّمْعِ وَالطَّاعَةِ فِي النَّشَاطِ وَالْكَسَلِ وَالنَّفَقَ فِي الْعُسْرِ وَالْيُسْرِ وَعَلَى الْأَمْرِ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهِي عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَأَنْ تَقُولُوا فِي اللَّهِ لَا تَخَافُوا فِي اللَّهِ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ وَعَلَى أَنْ تَنْصُرُونِي فَتَمْنَعُونِي إِذَا قَدِمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ مِمَّا تَمْنَعُونَ مِنْهُ أَنْفُسَكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجَكُمْ وَأَبْنَاءَكُمْ وَلَكُمْ الْجَنَّةُ فقمنا إليه وأخذ بيده أسعد بن زرارة رضي الله عنه وهو من أصغرهم وفي رواية البيهقي وهو أصغر السبعين إلا أنا. فقال رويدا: يا أهل يثرب, what should we take bay'at on? What should we swear an oath of allegiance on? Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, swear an oath of allegiance that you will listen and obey. Listen and obey. This is why the emphasis in our work, itaat, itaat, sunnah or amal karna, listen and obey. Have this quality of itaat, of obedience within ourselves. Fil nashati wal makra wal kasal, in ease and in adversity, whether it suits your nafs or it's against your nafs, suppress your nafs. To listen to the words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Spend in the way of Allah in ease and in adversity. Enjoin good and forbid evil. And say or invite in the way of Allah towards Allah. And in calling towards Allah, in inviting towards Allah, do not fear or do not be set back by the criticism of those who will taunt and turn against you. Also, you will have to take an oath of allegiance that you will help the Nabi of Allah and protect him when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to you, like you protect your own lives and your wives and your children. And in return for all this, Allah will give you Jannat. So Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, we stood one by one and we took the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, As'ad bin Zurara, who was one of the six that had come, as I mentioned earlier, As'ad bin Zurara was one of the six that had come in the 11th year, in that first group of six. He says, so far as age was concerned, he was the youngest of us. He was the youngest of the 70, except myself. In other words, Jabir radiallahu anhu says, I was younger than him in age. As'ad bin Zurara said, wait, Ruwaydan ya ahla Yathrib, fa'inna lam nadrib ilayhi akbad al-ibil illa wa nahnu na'lam annahu Rasulullah. وأن إخراجه اليوم مناوءة للعرب كافة وقتل خياركم وتعدكم السيوف فإما أنتم قوم تصبرون على ذلك فخذوه وأجركم الله وأجركم على الله وإما أنتم قوم تخافون من أنفسكم خيفة فذروه فبينوا ذلك فهو أعذر لكم عند الله. قالوا ابتعنا يا أسعد, فوالله لا ندع هذه البيعة ولا نسلبها أبدا. قال فقمنا إليه فبايعناه وأخذ علينا وشرط ويعطينا على ذلك الجنة. وقد رواه أحمد أيضا والبيهقي من غير هذا الطريق أيضا, وهذا إسناد جيد على شرط مسلم. Very often we hear about Sahaba taking the oath of allegiance on the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Mina, and this opening the door to Hijrat. And thereafter the great, great sacrifice, many, many incidents. In fact, Mawlana Yusuf Sahab rahmatullah alayhi has devoted an entire chapter in Hayat al-Sahaba to the incidents of Hijrat and then the incidents of Nusrat. Obviously we don't have time to go into all that. But this section of this incident, it's very, very important that we relate and try and understand and appreciate which orchard we come from. How did this deen reach us? What was the mountain of qurbani and sacrifice that Sahaba voluntarily and willingly gave for the work of Dawat and Tabligh, for Islam to spread, for the gardens of Hidayat to be watered? How did this deen reach us in the four corners of the world? As'ad bin Zurara of the 70 was the youngest. And yet look at the wisdom which Allah Ta'ala blessed him with. He turned to his people and he said, hold on. Currently everyone is taking bay'at, but I want to caution you. I want you people to understand the ramifications of what you are about to do. We have not ridden our camels, nadrib ilayhi akbad al-ibil, except we left Medina and we came here today to take this oath of allegiance. Because in our hearts we are convinced that he is the Rasul of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But know and understand, my people, the day we remove him from Makkah and we accept him into Madina Munawwara, in reality, this is an open declaration of war against the entire Arab world. You 70 people this late night, you are going to place your hands in the hands of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You have declared war on the entire Arab world. Every tribe will become your enemy. Every relationship will be broken down. It's not a possibility. It's not a likelihood. It's an absolute certainty that once you go ahead with what you are about to do, the best amongst you will be slaughtered. The swords of the entire Arab world will turn against you. They will cut you down. You will lose your wealth. You will lose your homes. You will lose your property. In other riwayat, it comes, your women will become widows. Your children will become orphans. The streets of Medina, it's not a possibility, it's an absolute certainty, will flow with your blood. Every possible sacrifice and hardship you are inviting today by placing your hands in the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I am begging you, my people, if you are not able to make sabr over this, then leave him now, leave him as he is. And put hand your affair over to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you fear that you are not able to fulfill the dictate and demand of this bayat and this oath that you are taking, then mention your excuse, hand your affair over to Allah. This will be better for you than you placing your hand in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hand, taking him to Madinah Munawwara, and then when the whole world turns against you, at that time you abandon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What was the reaction? He says it's not a possibility, it's not a likelihood, it's an absolute certainty. Your entire lives will change. Your values will change. رَمَتْكُمُ الْعَرَبْ أَنْ قَوْسٍ وَاحِدٍ The whole Arab world will turn against you. You will be at war with the whole world. Every possible sacrifice and hardship you are inviting by placing your hands in the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What do they say? They say, "Oh Asad, stop what you are doing. Allah's qasam, we will never abandon this bayat. And we will never hand the Rasul of Allah over." One by one we stood up and we took the oath of allegiance on the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in exchange for that, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam promised us Jannat. In one narration it comes, Abul Haysam bin Tayhan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that, "Ya Rasulullah, there is one concern, one worry that we do have." So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him that, what is that worry, what is that concern? He said, "Ya Rasulullah, whatever As'ad has said is going to happens. We are slaughtered, we give the ultimate sacrifice, then ثُمَّ أَظْهَرَكَ اللَّهِ You are the Nabi of Allah. This Qurbani won't go in vain. Allah's help will come. Allah's deen will spread. Allah will use you. The light of Hidayat will go to the four corners of the world. At that time, Ya Rasulullah, will you leave us and go back to Makkah?" فَتَبَسَّمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled and said, "بَلِ الدَّمْ الدَّمْ وَالْهَدَمْ الْهَدَمْ أَنَا مِنْكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ مِنِّي." He said, "My qabr with you, my living with you, my death with you. From today, I am from amongst you, you are from amongst me. لو سلك الناس وادياً وسلكت الأنصار وادياً لسلكت وادي الأنصار. If the whole world goes in one direction and my Ansar of Medina go in another direction, I will go in the direction of the Ansar." Their exposure to Islam maximum was 1 or 2 years. Their sohbat with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was absolutely minimal. Yet such was the love, such was the devotion that the Sahaba of Medina in that short period of time had cultivated for the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we find, my respected brothers, on the basis of this, our entire calendar started. Umar radiallahu anhu decided hijrat. So then when you look at your calendar 1447 AH, what is AH? After Hijrat. Safar of Hilal of Safar was sighted 4-5 days ago. Then it is Rabiul Awwal. Each month we are constantly reminded that this call of Hijrat, this call of sacrifice, this call of periodically striving, leaving your homes, leaving what we call mahbubat, marhubat, that which is beloved and that which is close to you, leaving it for the sake of Allah. This is not the brainchild of some organization, or this didn't stem from India and Pakistan. This is extracted directly from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is an inherent part of our culture. This is an inherent part of the lineage. This is an inherent part of the legacy of Islam. That Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his entire life was hijrat. Sahaba's life was hijrat. And this ummah, for it to fulfill its fariza of the work of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has to become an ummah of hijrat. Ijtima, which is taking place, this is just a platform. Our elders say, Ijtima is what we call Nafai Rabbani. It's a wind of Allah's mercy. It's a wake-up call. It's an opportunity. Mufti Zainul Abidin Sahab, Rahmatullah Ali, when they asked him when Ijtima was taking place, that Hazrat Ijtima ka kya maqsad hai? What's the object of Ijtima? He said, Ijtima ka maqsad tawbah hai. The object of Ijtima is to make tawbah. Tawbah, one is sins. Today, to some extent, major sins, leaving out salah, zina, riba, whatever it may be. Even if the nafs is weak, the realization is there that I have sinned. So possibly I will make tawbah. The challenge that is facing the ummah today is what our elders say, aaj ummah ka ilm ghalat ho gaya. Today our knowledge has become incorrect. The recognition of sin is not there. What greater sin can there be? What greater sin can there be when the life which Allah gave us, when the wealth which Allah gave us, when the intelligence which Allah gave us, when the abilities which Allah gave us and made us in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that carries an amanat, a trust, a responsibility to use it for what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and sahaba used it for. Today this ummati is not doing that. And there isn't even the ihsas and perception that I have to make tawbah. And I have to ask Allah for forgiveness. That so far away we have drifted away from the Qarn-e-Ula, from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every sahabi, what do these incidents teach us? The moment they accepted Islam, da'wat, da'wat, da'wat. Each one understood Islam and deen carries with it the zimedari of khatm-e-nubuwat. That no new Nabi to come. So this humanity, 80% of whom, if they die now, are going to Jahannam forever and ever. Who is responsible for them? The remaining 20% away from deen, who is responsible for them? For that, qurbani has to be given. So Mufti Zainul Abidin Sahab, Rahmatullah Ali, used to say, maqsad of ijtima is tawbah. And ijtimai tawbah, collective tawbah. Collectively, the ummah has to ask Allah forgiveness that up till today, I have not made the work of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the object of my life. And Allah's mercy is such, when Allah speaks of tawbah in the Quran also, what does Allah say? Illa man tab wa aman wa amila amalan saliha. Make tawbah. Make tawbah and follow your tawbah with amal saliha. In other words, go in the correct direction. And what will Allah do? فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتِ Allah will write the evil of the past as if it is good deeds. Unfortunately, our attendance of Ijtima also, many of us are attending. Why? Ijtima is in Overport, it's convenient. Just now we heard the brother explaining Till's Crescent is in Brickfield Road, for anybody who didn't know. So we'll go attend, just listen to one or two bayans. Like one of our kabirin says, I met one person, he's attending Ijtima for the last 20 years. After the Ijtima, I met him by Ijtima Haziri Hua. He said, yes, I was there in the Ijtima. What did you decide? Say, inshallah, next Ijtima I'm coming. In other words, that jazba and that zeal to bring about the change is not coming. We haven't even made that intention. And this is the first half. Whoever is coming from outside, that's in its place. This majma has to make decision. If we start moving, then Allah will use us to bring about that harkat and movement. Today the ummah is sitting and not moving. We can see the halat and conditions that are happening. This is in fact the warning of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When the ummah will not move, then the conditions will turn against us. This is an ummah of harkat. This is an ummah of hijrat. This is an ummah of qurbani. And this qurbani is the proof and the test of iman. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا Make mujahada in the way of Allah. Allah says, لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا We will open up not one road, roads of hidayat. Allah will use us. But this majma has to make the niyat to be, to make pehel, to move forward, to be the first. So who is ready, inshallah, to make niyat? Mawlana Ibrahim Sahib Devla, Daumat Barakatuh, recently, few of his bayans I translated. Almost every bayan in Tashkil, this is what he was saying. He said, 1926, Allah used Mawlana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi to remind the ummah of that which they forgot. He said, from 1926 till now, plus minus, 100 years have passed. 100 years have passed, and still we haven't given 4 months. What are we waiting for? Another 100 years? Have we got any guarantee? So those of us, we're not obviously Hayatul Sabah Omni Tashkil doesn't take place, but we can raise our hands. Inshallah, those who haven't given 4 months from this Ijtima, make near that inshallah, 4 months in the path of Allah. And those that have given, 4 months every year, inshallah. Allah give us tawfiq. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم لك الحمد كما أنت أهل وصل وسلم على سيدنا محمد كما أنت أهل وفعل بنا ما أنت أهل فإنك أهل التقوى وأهل المغفرة اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معاصيك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا اللهم متعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا أبدا ما أبقيتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا غاية رغبتنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا واجعل الجنة هي دارنا ولا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يخافك فينا ولا يرحمنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم إنك عفو كريم رحيم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا كريم اللهم إن ذنوبنا قد عظمت وجلت عن الصفة ولكنها صغيرة في جنب عفوك فاعف عنا وارحمنا يا أكرم الأكرمين اللهم استخدمنا لخدمة دينك بالإخلاص والاستقامة والعافية اللهم خذ بناصيتنا للبر والتقوى وعيذنا من شر الشيطان وشركه يا قوي يا عزيز إن قلوبنا ونواصينا وجوارحنا بيدك لم تملكنا منها شيئا فإذا فعلت ذلك بنا فكن أنت ولينا فكن أنت ولينا فكن أنت ولينا واهدنا إلى سواء السبيل اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب رسولك صلى الله عليه وسلم وحب عمل يقربنا إلى حبك اللهم اجعل نبينا لنا فرطا وحوضه لنا موردا اللهم احشرنا في زمرة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم واستعملنا على سنته واجعلنا من حزبه مع رفقائه يا رب العالمين اللهم اجعل اجتماعنا هذا اجتماع مرحوما واجعل تفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما ولا تجعل فينا ولا منا ولا معنا شقيا ولا محروما برحمتك ومنك وفضلك وكرمك يا أكرم الأكرمين وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ومطاعنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين الحمد.